Tesla's profits are down. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Tesla's first quarter results are in, and it was not all good news. Tesla's profits were down 24% from a year ago. Part of this comes down to CEO Elon Musk's plan to make electric vehicles cheaper. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with the details. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Why is Tesla making less money?
Well, Tesla said it made just shy of $3 billion in the first 3 months of this year. That is below expectations, way down from last year's. Tesla says it had to pay higher prices for raw materials and logistics. It also says its warranty costs were higher. There were some recalls. And Tesla cut the price of some of its cars, and it is facing more competition. More companies are getting into the electric vehicle business.
What's the expectation for how the rest of this year is going to go?
Well, Musk says those logistics and commodity costs will fall this year, so that will help the bottom line. But he also told analysts an uncertain economy could make consumers more reluctant to plunk down the money for a new car. He said every time the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, that's equivalent to an increase in the price of a car.
Oh, what does Musk have to say about Tesla's production later this year?
He expects to hold a kickoff to introduce the new Cybertruck this summer. Musk also announced plans recently for a new Tesla factory in Monterrey, Mexico. And the company says it's going to build a new facility in Shanghai to make its Megapack energy storage systems.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Today is April 20th, or 420, a day when lots of Americans celebrate, or at least give a wink, to cannabis. While it is a whole industry worth tens of billions of dollars with its own holiday, cannabis is illegal at the federal level in the U.S. That's posing problems for entrepreneurs trying to get insurance in the 20 or so states where you can buy and sell it legally. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more.
If you live in a state where it's legal, yes, you can get insurance for your cannabis business. It's just going to be expensive.
I believe it was more than $10,000.
Miriam Wood owns the Tea House, a dispensary in White River Junction, Vermont, that opened in late December. She says her insurance company required almost half of the total premium as a down payment.
It was difficult. We weren't licensed. We didn't have any revenue coming in.
These policies can be so expensive because cannabis laws vary state to state. So companies have to offer specialized policies, says Peg Brown, a deputy commissioner at the Colorado Division of Insurance.
Much of the insurance that's available for cannabis is in what we call the surplus lines market.
This is a type of insurance often used to cover unusual things like a singer's voice or a dancer's legs or a storefront full of pot and cash. A group of regulators is working to standardize state policies, but Brown says the easiest fix would be for Congress to change federal law. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
In 2019, federal health officials launched a major push to end the HIV epidemic in the U.S. Agencies have sent hundreds of millions of dollars to infection hotspots. The idea is to fund new approaches to fighting the virus. But COVID, politics, and stigma could keep the country from meeting those ambitious goals, especially in southern states and counties. Sam Whitehead from KFF Health News reports.
The idea is to cut new HIV infections by 90% by 2030. Harold Phillips leads the White House's Office of National AIDS Policy. He doesn't think that's realistic.
Do I think the whole country is going to make it there? I don't think so because of some of the challenges.
Challenges like how the pandemic disrupted HIV testing. That's made it hard to tell if new infections are declining.
It is tough to say right now, are we winning? Are we losing? Are we at the same level?
Better data will help the Biden administration decide where to send money. It's asked for $850 million in the federal budget. There have been bright spots. A needle exchange in Florida connects people to HIV treatment using telehealth, which was vital during the pandemic. That project got federal dollars to study the effectiveness of the program. University of Miami's Dr. Hansel Tooks runs the needle exchange. He says it's hard to get buy-in in conservative parts of the state.
It's sad to see what's happened in this hyper-partisan anti-science environment.
Elsewhere, in Tennessee, Republican lawmakers recently turned down grants for HIV services. In Texas, Hope Adams works in HIV prevention in Tarrant County, where she's trying to avoid the ire of conservative lawmakers. She says her messaging has to be pretty vanilla. She's hesitant to put PSAs on dating apps like Grindr and Tinder.
In some way, we're doing a disservice to our community and that we're not getting the message out to the people who need to hear it.
As of February, many states and counties in the South hadn't spent all the money they'd been allocated to cut new HIV infections. In Charlotte, Chelsea Golden says the money her HIV clinic receives can't be spent beyond the boundaries of one rapidly growing county.
So as we're seeing people move right outside of the county line because housing is cheaper, we're seeing them be out of the reach of services that are geared just for Mecklenburg County.
Even if the nation does end up meeting its goal to cut HIV infections by 90%, the federal funding process for HIV is year to year. Prevention advocates say it's one thing to bring HIV under control. It's another thing to keep investing to hold the epidemic at bay. I'm Sam Whitehead in Atlanta.
That story was produced in collaboration with KFF Health News. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.